Imagine altering physical reality, like changing an entire forest ecosystem just by deleting one single word from a piece of paper.
It sounds a bit like magic, honestly.
Right. But in South Africa's Forestry Laws Amendment Act of 2005, that is exactly what happened. Welcome to this deep dive. Today we're looking at how a seemingly dry legislative update completely rewrote the rules for environmental protection, fire safety, and land rights, specifically tailored for you.
Yeah, legislation can sound incredibly boring, but the real-world impact is actually wild when you dig into it.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Take Section 7 of the National Forest Act. The drafters went in and they simply deleted the word living.
Just that one word.
Just one word. So now it is illegal to cut or destroy any indigenous tree in a natural forest, whether it's dead or alive.
Right. And to understand why they did that, you really have to look at the legal loophole that existed before.
And always a loophole.
Always.
Yeah.
Previously, if a logger wanted a protected tree, well, they couldn't cut it down while it was alive. So they would intentionally poison it or, you know, ring bark it.
Ring barking is when they cut a tight ring around the trunk.
Like. Exactly. Yeah. Just to kill it. And once a tree was technically dead, they could legally harvest that dead wood.
Oh, wow. Ah, so removing the word living closes that loophole entirely.
It absolutely does.
Plus, I mean, biologically, deadwood isn't just trash. It's the compost engine of the forest.
Right. It recycles nutrients.
Yeah, it serves as the scaffolding for the next generation of the ecosystem. So protecting the dead wood makes sense.
It is entirely essential. But legislation is rarely that absolute without causing some friction on the ground.
Right.
The act creates this absolute blanket protection for forests, yet it includes a very specific third category offense exemption for damaging forest produce, except for one plant.
Which is so strangely specific.
Yeah, the seven-week fern or Rumora edianthiform.
Wait. Let's pause there. Why does one specific fern get a national legislative free pass?
Well, blanket bans often fail if they ignore established local uses, you know? The minister actually has the power to exempt certain...
But you still didn't answer why ferns specifically. I mean, what is so special about the seven-week fern that it gets named in a national law?
Fair question. So that specific fern has an incredibly long shelf life. It stays vibrant for weeks after being cut.
Hence the name. Seven-week fern.
Exactly. Because of that, it became massively popular globally in the floral industry as, like, the go-to greenery for bouquets.
Oh, I've probably seen it in florist shops.
You definitely have. And entire communities in the Cape region depend on harvesting it for their livelihoods.
Oh, I see.
So if the government just banned it outright alongside everything else, they'd basically be criminalizing a major local economy overnight. So they carved out a highly specific practical exemption.
That balance between protecting a resource and managing the reality on the ground, that actually shows up again when you look at how the Act handles fire.
Oh, yeah, the fire danger ratings.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting. They amended the National Veld and Forest Fire Act, and high fire danger is no longer the ceiling.
They needed to go further.
Yeah, it's like turning the volume dial up to 11. They legally introduced an extreme rating. And when that is declared, open-air fires are strictly banned.
Adding an extreme category isn't just about, you know, painting the risk map a darker shade of red. It forces a systemic legal reaction.
So does that reflect a changing environment, like where fires are getting worse and the old scale just couldn't capture the true risk anymore?
It does. If we connect this to the bigger picture, by creating this new threshold, the legislation mandates much stricter emergency responses that simply weren't triggered under a high rating.
Right.
And practically, it requires immediate action. When an extreme rating is declared, the law now legally demands warnings be published at the earliest possible opportunity.
And not just in English, right?
Exactly. In all the main languages used in that specific region. It shifts the burden to local authorities to guarantee everyone actually understands the immediate threat.
Wow. So the law protects the physical trees,
mm-hmm.
and it tries to prevent the landscape from burning down.
Yes.
But it also has to deal with who actually owns the land those trees are growing on. Because forests in South Africa are deeply tied to contested land rights.
They really are.
The Act empowers the minister to set up financial trusts for state forests that are caught up in land restitution claims.
Right. It addresses a very specific tension. Consider areas held under the KwaZulu-Natal Inganyama Trust.
Okay.
That's a legal entity that manages land traditionally owned by the Zulu king for the benefit of local communities.
Got it.
If a community is claiming history, that is a perfect analogy. The property keeps generating income from the forestry company, but the government holds that rent money safely in a trust.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so once the rightful owners are determined by the courts, the money is there waiting for them. It ensures historically dispossessed communities aren't financially cut out by a slow-moving legal system.
That is brilliant. It really shows how interconnected all these issues are. Just by adjusting a few lines of text, we've gone from stopping illegal loggers from poisoning trees to demanding multilingual extreme fire warnings to holding corporate lease money in escrow for dispossessed communities.
All accomplished through the careful mechanics of legislative amendments.
Incredible. But before we wrap up, there's one radical move tucked right at the end of the document.
Oh, the repeal.
Yeah. The act completely repeals the Wattle Bark Industry Act of 1960. It just erases it entirely from the books.
Which leaves you with an interesting puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Something for you to ponder today. What actually happens to an entire agricultural industry when the government decides to completely deregulate its governing framework overnight?
Just poof, gone.
It is wild to think about. Because as we've seen today, crossing out text in a legal document doesn't just change the words, it creates a completely new reality on the ground.